This is Cage Fire Radio.
Fire Radio, an MMA Madhouse production brought to you by BrawlFace.com.
Hey, dude, how's it going?
Oh, man, I'm living the dream. Got an empty ashtray and a fresh grape crush soda. I'm ready to kick this off. Bring my partner in crime, man.
I noticed this crow follows you everywhere except for Rogue MMA.
And Broken Nose. But we were talking about that. Let's bring my partner in crime in here.
All right.
Caitlin, El Jefe of Cage Fire Radio, how are you tonight, young lady?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm excited to kick back and hang out with you again on Cage Fire Radio. We got a great night, Bridgetown MMA, and then we're going to talk to a couple of their fighters. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm sorry, guys. Bridgetown Jiu-Jitsu. It's a great organization. They got a great, great set of fighters and coaches there. After we talk to some of them guys at that gym, we're going to cover Tough Smashes with Madhouse Live's host of that show, one of the hosts over there named Labaki. He's going to come hang out with us tonight on our show with Leonard from Fisticuffs in Vancouver, Washington. He was down there as one of the assistant coaches helping one of the teams, so we're going to have him come on for the next few weeks, and those two guys are going to kind of catch us up to date on what's going on. From what I've seen on that show, it's been much better, so, I definitely looking forward to that.
Definitely, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, this first set of guests is somebody who, anybody here up in the Pacific Northwest, they know of some of these guests that we're going to have tonight. We're going to have Rex Payne. We're going to have Joaquin Rodriguez. I also believe we're going to have Ish up on here. And I think Josh Mullen would be the other coach joining us tonight. So let's kick it off quick and right, young lady. I'm going to bring Rex in right away. How you doing, Rex?
Hi. Doing well, thank you.
Welcome to Cage Fire Radio. You're on with the host, Miss Caitlin, and I'm her wingman, Skippy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I've gotten a chance to talk to you a little bit, so let me get the ball rolling, and then Miss Caitlin and me will kind of jump back and forth. Rex, you want to tell everybody about Bridgetown and a little bit about the background of you and your facility?
Sure. We're at Higa Machado Academy. We focus on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, no-gi Jiu-Jitsu, mixed martial arts, boxing, Muay Thai, and wrestling. We also offer family Taekwondo, and, we want to be a place where everyone can come and have fun and learn to train for self-defense or fun or also compete in mixed martial arts.
Go ahead, Ms. Caitlin.
I was going to say, it seems that you have a pretty good resume, and I see that you've been doing this for quite a while. So do you want to give, like, a short bio of yourself for people that aren't as familiar with you?
Sure. I've been doing jiu-jitsu, competing in MMA for 10 and a half years. I'm a brown belt under Master Higa Machado. I have 35 total MMA fights, 20 of them professional. And, you know, in 10 years, I've got to compete and train all over the country. I think I've competed in 14 or 15 states and met a lot of awesome people. And, you know, I hope to take what I've learned and experienced and share it here at Bridgetown with everyone.
Awesome.
Now, I'd like to jump in since you brought up that real quick. With your background, you've won a lot of different awards, especially, some really, I think, important no-gi, you know, titles throughout your career. Is that your first love? Is that your true passion?
Yeah, it seems, you know, all of my wins have come from submission. I've mostly trained jiu-jitsu, so, yeah, I have a Brazilian flag tattooed on me. I love jiu-jitsu for sure.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, I know you guys are raising a great stable of fighters there and impressive fighters. That, I mean, you know, for anybody out there, you know, and if I'm wrong, correct me, but I believe his bio said 5 belts with 3 promotions as an amateur with close to 20 fights.
Sure, and that's Joaquin you're speaking of. And
yes.
Yeah, he's fighting for the 145-pound title at the next FCFF next Saturday. And, you know, he's put in a lot of work, and we've really seen him grow. And I'm looking forward for everyone to see, you know, what we produce here at Bridgetown. I think everyone will be able to see the growth. He's coming off a big win. Joaquin got a knockout at the last FCFF. He fought out over a tough kid named John Baker. So
now, you know, for all the fans out there, we're going to get to have Joaquin on here shortly to talk about, you know, his career and everything and, you know, the steps he's taken and where he's going. As a coach, you also have another fighter, I believe, on that card the same night. Isn't Ish fighting on that card?
Yes, Ish is fighting a kid named Cody Hammond from Alive MMA, and, you know, I think that's going to be a great fight for the fans to witness, and also a good test to see about the work Ish's put in.
Yeah, I'll be honest. For those of you out there who don't know, Cody's a tough kid, man. He's a really good test for Ish. I believe Ish has the power in his hands to knock him out. Obviously, anybody out there who's seen any of Ish, he's got some hands. So it's going to be an interesting fight. I have a feeling we could see a first round where these two boys stand up, you know, for sure.
I think it's going to be a good fight. You know, Ish stays very composed. He's a tough kid. He's mature beyond his years, I think, as a person and as a fighter. I think it's going to be a great fight for the fans.
Definitely. I mean, it's a great event, you know. You know, they've been doing, like, this is their 10-year anniversary, I believe, is this event. So, I mean, this is an important card for those kids to, you know, to be on. If I'm not mistaken, that is the 10-year anniversary card. Because you're talking about the next one coming up, correct?
That's correct. That's November 10th at the Roseland Theater.
I believe that's the 10-year card, the end of the 10-year, you know, because it was November 02 when they held their first event. So, yeah, this is an impressive historic card for your fighters to be on. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor. And the Roseland, you know, is one of the first shows in Oregon. It's just a great place. It's always a great feeling to compete there, coach there, just see a show there. So we're all excited.
So let me ask you, do your teammates that you coach, obviously, you know, all your fighters there are at a level to where some of them are actually coaching, but the fighters that you're working with right now, is it better for that group when you have multiple fighters on one card?
I think so, because then they get a, you know, they get a sharing the misery of getting ready for a fight together, you know. There's a lot can be said about going through fight camp with a teammate, you know, as opposed to just all your teammates going out and eating pizza, drinking beer, and you're the only one staying focused. you know, I think all the guys have, you know, banded together, and, you know, it's really our coming out party, so to speak. We've only had the one fight that Joaquin had won on a two-week camp, you know, and we got 3 months into this gym, and we're growing, and, you know, everyone's come together. We're going to put in good fights.
You know, with the background you have, you've got to, you know, have felt like you guys are starting something successful to begin with. I mean, let's look at your coach, Josh. Is he going to call in, or are we just going to pass the phone to him? Or
Whichever you'd like. He's actually trying to call right now.
Okay, cool. Okay. Oh, okay, perfect. I mean, you know, we can pass the phone. If that works, we can have him call in. That way we can keep you on the whole show.
Hold on just a sec. I'll do that. I'll pass the torch here. So here's Josh. I'll let him tell his story. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, welcome to Cage Fire Radio. You're on with Caitlin and myself, Skippy. She's having some technical difficulties with her mic, I guess. So as much as she would love to talk to you guys, I guess I'm going to keep working this. But
no, actually, I just got on here.
Okay, you're back.
I'm back.
We're on with Josh Mullins. He is the boxing instructor, and I was about to give him to give us a bio about yourself real quick.
Let's see. I've been boxing for about 20-plus years. Sparred with guys like David Sample. My cousin's a former U.S. Amateur National Champion. Been in the gym with a lot of guys. Trained Melvin Guillard for 7-8 fights before he was on the Ultimate Fighter reality show, including his win against Roger Huerta.
Oh, that's impressive. Now,
thank you, sir.
Now, am I to understand you guys met in kind of a weird place, and you guys crossed paths, and was it New Orleans?
No, it was 2006. I moved back to Portland after the hurricane happened, and I decided to move back to the city of New Orleans. Well, we had a mutual friend named Jeff Strickland who was living in Colorado, and he invited us to this party at a mansion there for the UFC, I think BJ against Joe Stevenson. Anyway, so we go there. We're sharing. I bust out a beer from Portland, and Rex is like, oh, man, I'm from Portland. Next thing you know, we start talking. We hit it off. We stay in contact through the MySpace days, then later Facebook. Yeah, and then he tells me he's opened up a gym in North Portland and asks me if I want to become his boxing instructor, and I jumped on it.
Wow. So you guys communicate and work together daily then?
Yeah.
Oh, you felt that grow as a team to produce and to run this gym now and to start producing athletes in a competitive combat sport or athlete sport. How do you feel, you know, with having no previous friendships or knowledge of each other, and now you guys are at this point, how do you feel your progression is going? Do you feel like you guys are farther along than you wanted to be?
Man, we're like a family. Like, we are the progression's ridiculous down here. The guys, it's such a close-knit group. We're not just a team, we're a family. I'm close with every one of the guys in here. We have a really amazing thing going on down here. And I think November 10th, everybody will see that.
Well, you know, I believe you guys have some tough kids. You know, definitely Joaquin is somebody out there that, you know, people should be taking notice of if they already haven't. And Ish coming up as fast as he has. I got to say, I think it's really interesting with your partnership with a guy with such an experience and ground, and you bring such a great, you know, striking game, you know, that mesh to produce the amateur MMA fighter and get him ready for his pro career. I think that's great. Was that something you guys set out to do, is we need these specific disciplines?
Yeah, Coach Rex has been around for a long time in jiu-jitsu, MMA. I've been around for a while in boxing and MMA, working with like Melvin. Hell, I sparred with Pat Barry back in the day. I know what it takes. We both know what it takes to produce successful fighters. And Coach Rex has a great appreciation for the stand-up game. And I have a great admiration and respect for the ground game, so we work extremely well together. It's, we know what it takes, and that's what we're doing right now.
Inside the gym, what kind of accomplishments and things do you guys have inside the gym, and what are you working towards?
We're working towards making each student, each fighter, the best they possibly can be. I get just as much pleasure from working with some of my 12 and 14, 15-year-olds as I do from working with my fighters.
What kind of different perspectives do you get from the younger fighters than you do the older and more experienced fighters?
It makes me a better teacher because I really have to break things down that much more. I can't just throw my arms out there and move my feet and be like, this is how you do it. I have to break it down step by step.
So do you think it's harder working with younger athletes?
Actually, no. I would... The younger athletes are actually easier because they have less bad habits to break. They have no bad habits. So it's just a raw piece of play that you get to mold and form into what you want.
Hmm.
You know, you touched on something with the progression of the sports, and obviously both of you guys have been around long enough to see now that are you seeing a much bigger influx of the 8 to 15-year-old range students?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's the sport of the next millennium. Everybody's coming out. Everybody knows what the UFC is. Everybody knows what MMA is, and everybody wants to train it. And mixed martial arts is becoming a style of its own.
That's very true.
So, yeah, you're not getting these guys that are just stud wrestlers or stud kickboxers that are trying to do enough just to pass it off and survive. No, you get these guys that are coming in that are well-fitted. They're great jiu-jitsu guys, great wrestlers, great stand-up, and because that's all they train.
Now, what's the toughest thing when you have a student who's coming in from one coach to the next, going from somebody who's maybe – a solid ground game, but not a solid stand-up game. Maybe he's got some weaknesses and some things with his footwork. How difficult is that transition for you when he keeps thinking that, I need to go to the ground, I need to go to the ground?
Yeah, if he wants to go to the ground more, if that's what he's good at, that's great, let's run with it. But I'm going to make it so when he strikes, he's more than adequate and he can handle himself. Because you're not going to be able to take everybody.
Great, honest answer, man. I like that. I really like that answer. So I'm guessing you have the rest of the crew sitting around with you, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Ish next, if you don't mind.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Oh, yeah. We're going to grab Ish up.
Hello?
Hey, Ish. How you doing tonight, brother?
Good. How are you?
Welcome to Cage Farm Radio. Miss Caitlin and I'm Skippy. We're talking a little bit about your gym. We'd like to talk about you. You're a great competitor, amateur MMA fighter. So I'd like you to kind of give everybody a little background about yourself.
All right. What do you want to know? Do you want to know how I got started, or how I met the gym, or?
Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit about where you came from and how you got into the sport and, you know, and your progression to the gym.
All right, cool. Well, I moved here all the way from Cairo, Egypt, just to get a college degree. But I was kind of on the heavy side. I was weighing like 220. So I was looking for a sport that would get me in shape, you know. So I was riding my bike to my uncle's house, and I kept passing by a gym. So I went into that gym, started working out, dropped about 70 pounds, and in the whole time, I think it took about 4 months, and then I started fighting. After I started fighting, I became like 3-0, so I thought, oh, I might have a future in this. So I continued fighting, but then a fallout came out with my old gym. And I moved to this next one, and that's where I met Joaquin, who was fighting for the 145 title on November 10th. And then we all had a falling out of that other one, and we moved here to Bridgetown. And it's been such a great camp so far. I mean, I feel real lucky knowing these guys, to be honest.
I see that you have some international competition experience. Do you want to talk a little bit about your international experience and where you went to and what you competed in?
Oh, yeah. I fought the 170 champ in Egypt. He was also a world champion in Sando, which is basically kickboxing and with takedowns. But we had an MMA fight, and I ended up winning the second round with a flying knee KO. That was pretty fun. The interesting thing about that fight was during the revolution, so they couldn't afford the ring, so they made us fight on carpets in a soccer stadium.
Wow, that must have been a lot different. Were there other distinct differences about fighting in a different country compared to the U.S.?
No, you know, there's always tough guys everywhere. I see the U.S. Is a lot more advanced and a lot more knowledgeable in the martial arts, like jiu-jitsu and boxing. But, you know, everywhere has a lot of tough people. I just also fought for the 155 title like a month ago in Egypt, for the 155 Egyptian title. And that was a pretty good fight. It was a five-round war.
Okay, see, now, okay, I got to jump in, Miss Caitlin, because you're talking my language, guy. I'm a huge, huge fan of the Egyptian top team, EFC, you know, obviously RFA over there, and now with the Abu Dhabi Championship League, and I support wholeheartedly the Tunisian fighters. So I'm really, really, I think this is great because we just did an interview with the 155 EFC champ, and I did not realize that fight was you. So this is super cool. For me, as a fan, man, I mean, this is really cool because I've seen the video. I've got to ask you, you know, do you see the progression of the fighters in Egypt and North Africa as a whole progressing the same rate as the fighters in America?
I usually compare this as, you know, how the UFC first started? How they're all tough and they knew a few things here and there, and one by one they're advancing like they are now.
Okay.
So I see the United States are a lot more advanced in it because I think they started a lot longer and they don't have that many coaches who have a wide knowledge on things. But I'm pretty sure give it a good 3 years, they're gonna be just as tough and just as popular.
Yeah, I got to say, congrats for having the opportunity to go back there and fight for an organization like EFC and fight over there. I think that's super cool, man, and I hope to see more fighters from the United States go over there, which I am starting to see an influx of, and starting to see more come here, you know, so congratulations on that. And do you feel a battle like that has got you prepared for this fight coming up at FCFF?
Oh, yeah. That was the longest fight of my life, and, you know, I didn't quit. I personally think I won the fight. I know I got robbed by judges, but, you know, it's in the past. But, the guy is an old friend of mine. But now, you know, things are in the past, now we're here in the present. I need to focus on this fight. I'm pretty sure I'm really prepared, and I feel ready to go.
Miss Caitlin, you
want to
jump in?
So for your upcoming FCFF fight, is there any specific areas that you're training in order to get the win on this, or are you pretty much working on everything because you feel pretty confident about it?
Oh, well, here in Bridgetown, they try to make every part of your game equal and strong. So if anything went wrong with striking, I'm going to be strong on the ground. If anything went wrong on the ground, I'm going to have a good striking.
Is there an area that you feel the strongest in?
Yes, yeah. I'm actually pretty confident everywhere around the game. I mean, Bridgetown helped me be, you know, the best player I can be so far, and they're just going to help me improve over the future.
Well, good. Also, for those of us that don't know, do you want to talk about how you got the fight name Ish?
So my real name is Ismail, and some people say Ishmael, and some people say Ismail, and they just have their own version of saying it, so I just tell them just to call me Ish. It's a lot simpler. People remember it, and it's simple.
Do you have a Twitter?
No, I don't have a Twitter.
Okay, you know, we got to ask, and I know when I get back to your coaches before we wrap up, I'll be asking them if they have one for the gym and stuff, but I've got about 3 minutes left before we go to the next, before we go to your teammate, but I want you to have a chance. Do you have any shout-outs you want to give to anybody? And I mean anybody overseas. I know right now, as funny as this is going to sound, is I just got off the phone before the show with your opponent from that fight. And I was like, you should check out my show tonight. I got these great fighters on from over here in Oregon. So it's just weird. So, I mean, everybody around the world is listening tonight. We're trying to open the broad base of our fan base to you to help build your name. So you want to give a shout-out, run it, anything. Anybody you want to thank, Facebook, anything.
To be honest, I can't think of anyone. I just want to, you know, give a shout-out to Bridgetown. You know, those are the only guys I really want to thank, and all the only ones I can think about right now. First time I'm doing jiu-jitsu.
You got a Facebook fans can find you on?
Facebook? Yeah. It's Ismail, but Sam, Ismail Raslan. It's a long name on Facebook.
Well, fans, we'll look it up and we'll get it out there so you guys can find them. We'll throw it up on our Facebook wall tonight for all you fans. You know, look, I really appreciate you taking the time. I think this is super, super cool. Me and you are going to have to sit down and talk off air sometime, man, because I, you know, I'm a huge fan of that MMA over there, a huge, huge fan, and I'd love to pick your brain some more about it, you know, sometime.
Okay, sounds good, and you guys should come down to watch the fights, and if you guys can't make it, we have this after party at Twilight. It's in North Lombard. You guys are more than welcome to come. Be fun, hang out with the fighters, come have a beer with us and stuff. Be cool.
Well, we'll have to see what we can do about it. I think we actually have a team that's going to be there, so I'm not sure if it's Caitlin or Devin or who, but somebody's going to probably be there covering it. We usually do. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck on that fight. Miss Caitlin, anything you want to go for? Did I lose Miss Caitlin again? Okay, well, she's gone. Her mic's dead again, I guess. But, hey, let me talk to Joaquin, brother. You have the best of luck, man, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much. Here's Joaquin. Hello.
Joaquin Rodriguez, welcome to Cage Fire Radio. You're on with Caitlin and Lepaki. Her mic is broken, so she can't talk. But I'm going to be here and hanging with you for a few. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You want to tell the fans a little bit about yourself? Give a little bit of background information. You know, we got fans worldwide. We're trying to introduce them to you. So you want to tell them a little bit about yourself?
Let's see here. I grew up in Canby, Oregon, a little town out in the country, and I lived there all my whole life. And right now, all I do is work and train for these fights that I just love to do. And I'm a sheet metal worker at Temp Control Mechanical Corp. in Portland. And I've been doing that for a little over a year now. And I've been training now for 4 years and fighting for about 5 years now. Well, the other way around, training for 5 years, fighting for four.
Okay, I've been dying to ask you this. As a former competitive bodybuilder, how much of a difference is training for you?
Well, when I was doing the bodybuilding, I was also training for MMA. That's
okay.
It was a weird little deal that I made with my trainer at the time. I told him I wanted to get into MMA, and he said he would train me, but in order for me to compete in MMA, I had to do a bodybuilding competition. And so, you know, I wanted to get into fighting.
I'm sorry, can you say that? I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Because I thought I heard something. Did you just say for you to compete in MMA, you had to do a bodybuilding competition?
Exactly. That was a deal.
Is there a reason he specifically told you?
Go ahead.
Excuse me?
Is there a reason he specifically asked you that?
Honestly, I don't know. I think it might have been because he just got his personal training license, and you know, he wanted to kind of have a guinea pig to use his new knowledge that he just picked up.
Because, yeah, with all that muscle mass, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, there's attributes to having muscle, but your tendons are going to be so much tighter. You're not going to be able to stretch in certain positions as easily. I mean, yeah, I just don't. Yeah, that's weird. But obviously,
yeah. You've
been successful. You've had over 20 amateur fights. Your resume says 5 titles for 3 promotions.
Yes.
And you're going for your 6th. Correct.
Excuse me?
And you're going for your 6th on November 10th?
Yes, that's right, for the featherweight title at the CFS.
What are all the promotions you have your title belt for?
I held a super fight belt in the knucklehead promotion. I have 2 super fight belts in split decision. I was the defending featherweight champion split decision. And I fought for the title in, what was that promotion called? Okay.
Community Count?
Yeah, I can't remember the promotion.
Like
the one with Charles Grijalva, what's his promotion called?
Oh, United Combat Sports.
United Combat Sports, yeah, exactly.
That's all right. It happens, man. Look,
yeah,
you're a fighter. You're not really worrying about where you win your fights as long as you win them, right?
Exactly. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Finishing what you were saying.
I was just going to say that I fought for that title, and I won the fight, but I weighed in a pound over, so I didn't get the belt, but I ended up winning the fight in the second round. And then I had a title fight in Centralia, Washington, not too long ago, for the lightweight title for the X amount show up there. And so that was the other belt.
Now, I got to ask you, I don't know if I'm taking this question out of Mrs. Caitlin's hands, but are you looking to go pro soon? Are you looking to go pro soon?
That's the plan. I don't plan on staying amateur forever. But, you know, I just want to make sure I'm ready. I don't want to go to the next step too soon. You know, I don't want to jump the gun.
Totally understandable. I just, you know, I was curious if you come in with a dominating victory that's maybe – just outright dominating and maybe a round or less, you know, would you feel like, okay, I've locked it up. I feel like I'm successful. I'm fighting a very tough individual. I went in here and I finished it quickly. So, you know, I'd like to, you know, I'm just trying to get into your mindset of, you know, obviously you're preparing for a fight, but you're also preparing for a career. So with this new team behind you, you know, I got to ask the questions, you know, if you know, pros in the near future or if you're going to continue to focus on your amateur. And obviously you answered that, so I appreciate that.
Well, after I win this fight, I'm probably going to defend it one time, and then I'll go pro.
Ms. Caitlin?
Well, you kind of took the question right out of my mouth, you know. I was going to ask him about how soon he planned on going pro and if this upcoming fight had any impact on how soon he went. So how do you feel going into the fight? Because you said, after I win, I will defend it again. So I'm assuming you feel pretty good going into this fight?
I feel great. I'm the best I've ever been. All my skills have improved tremendously since I started training here at Bridgetown. This is by far the best gym I've ever trained at, the best coaches I've ever had, and the best team. It's just, I couldn't ask for anything more here.
What makes them so much better than any other gym?
Rex. I mean, he's a seasoned vet. He's been around for a long time, and he's been all over the country. He's trained, and he's fought some of the best in the world. And, you know, you just can't get knowledge like that just from anyone. And then Lurch is another great coach who's got knowledge and training all over the country as well.
Now, I got to follow up with that question, Ms. Caitlin. You know, as somebody who's been to multiple gyms, please tell the amateurs out there how much of a difference it makes when you have a professional coaching staff that understands what it's like to get an athlete truly prepared for a battle.
It makes a huge difference. Having a training camp versus not having a training camp is night and day. You have people behind you putting you through a schedule. You know, there's no going out and, messing around. There's no, we have rules here we can't break. And if we do, there's hard punishment.
I think, you can't say anything more. I mean, that's a good, way to run a gym. I mean, these guys are trying to build you athletes to be professionals and to carry on and go into a career that's supposed to sustain you, not only physically but financially. So, I mean, the preparation is more than just gym time. It's behavior outside the gym. It's something I reiterate.
Exactly.
It's nice to see that. Nice to hear you openly state that, too.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, and also, I mean, the coaches care so much here. If you're not coming in here when you're supposed to be here, they're not going to let you fight. As simple as that.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left, so I want to give you some time, like I did Ish. Any Twitter, Facebook, anybody you want to thank, any sponsors, anybody you want to give shout-outs to, please feel free to take a run at it.
All right. Yeah, I'd like to thank some sponsors. Real Soldiers, X Amount Clothing, Dominion Fight Gear, and Local. Surface Masters and, all the my coaches here at Bridgetown and my teammates.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. Ms. Caitlin, do you got anything you want to add to this?
First of all, me and Skippy really appreciate you coming on to Cage Fire Radio and spending some time with us to talk about your upcoming fight. We'll definitely be in your corner, supporting you through the fight and cheering you on. We'd love to hear from you after your fight to see how it went, see what's coming up, and when you decide to go pro, maybe get you on here again. And so I wish you the best of luck in your fight.
All right, thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Let me grab Rex so he can get some time real quick to give some love to the gym. Hey, good luck, brother.
All right, thank you. Here's Rex.
Hello?
Rex, I know that your boys are preparing for war just 10 days out. I'm very honored that you guys took the time away from that to come on Cage Fire with Caitlin and myself. Before we wrap up with you, I'd like you to have a second to give shout-outs to any sponsors, addresses, Facebook, phone numbers, whatever it is. Go for it.
I always want to thank First Master Egan Machado and then everyone here at Bridgetown Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, the Twilight Room on North Lombard's hosting the official after party for our three guys fighting at the FCFF. And just, check us out at BridgetownBJJ.com. And thank you guys very much for having us.
Oh, no, hey, I appreciate it. I hope that, we can have you on down the road again and hear more success stories as you guys grow. And definitely when you and your team decide it's time for Joaquin to go pro, we, you know, like Ms. Caitlin said, we'd love to have you guys on to talk about it.
Sure, we'll keep that in mind, and thanks again.
Well, I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to add to this? Did we lose her again? Well,
no.
Hey, Rex, I will definitely talk to you again. You know, we're going to help promote this event. You know, hopefully we'll have a team there covering it for everybody. And as soon as I know on that, I'll let you know. That way fans who can't make it will be able to get results from us instantly. So good luck to your team, Rex. Thank you so much for the time tonight. Everybody out there, Bridgetown Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, man, you guys got to check them out, man. They're legit. This place is, they're producing some great fighters. They got some great coaches.
Now, I may have missed it, but how new is this gym?
I want to say they started not too long ago, maybe a year or so ago.
Okay, that's what I thought. Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny when you sit down and look at their coaches' resumes. I mean, they're so impressive.
Well, you know you have a good coaching staff when you've made such immense growing and improving in such a short amount of time that your fighters can come on air and talk about what a difference it's made for them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you've got a kid, obviously, you know, with Ish, you know, who's getting to fight overseas. I mean, how cool is that? What is the weird coincidence that the guy he lost that decision to was on the phone with me 5 minutes before we went live, and we had just interviewed him, not knowing that Ish was from just right down the street. That is just a cool deal, man.
That's crazy.
I'll be calling him up, man, and hitting him up privately to BS, man. I really want to talk to him about that. You know me, Miss Caitlin. I'm a huge fan of the overseas MMA. I'm just a junkie for it.
Oh, I know. You're an MMA guru.
Dude, a buddy of mine, you've probably met Derek, I believe, from Budo Fights when you covered it, Budo Fights 8, I believe you covered. Derek, he calls me the Rain Man of MMA. I'm like, that's messed up. Yeah, I don't know why, but I love that guy. He's a crazy SLB. You know, we're going to chill for a few
minutes. Probably why he likes you.
That's probably why he likes me. I think he likes me because I got a cool clenched up mouth guard tattoo, but let's be honest.
That's true. That might have something to do with it.
You know, but you know what? Maybe one day I'll have to get a brawl-based tattoo. Maybe I should just get all my sponsors tattooed on me.
I was watching this 60 Minutes, 2 weeks ago, and they were talking about these people.
Did you mute again? Okay. Well, I'm having technical difficulties with the boss lady of the show. Either I've made her upset and she doesn't want to talk to me, or we're just really having some bad technical difficulties tonight. But either way, it's not going to slow us down. We're chilling for a minute. We're going to hope to bring Leonard on from Fisticuffs Gym. I know I got my hockey chilling.
Did we lose Caitlin again?
Yeah. We'll get her back on in a second. We love her to death. We're not going to keep going without her. But we will be bringing in MMAMadhouse.com's live host. One of the hosts from the show, his name's Lepaki. The guy's the man, dude. This guy's got an MMA intellect like you wouldn't believe. I dare anybody to get into a Twitter war with him, especially I'd like to see some more of his arguments with some of the hosts of some of the other MMA television shows out there. Those were wonderful. You can bring Lepaki on whenever he's ready. Leonard, if you happen to be listening or any of the boys down there, 310-742-1799 is the call-in number. Check your text messages as well. I sent it to you. We're going to keep trying to call you as well. Lepaki, you there with me, brother?
Not yet, no. It's just you and me right now, man.
Oh, well, look at this, everybody. It's Carl, the madman himself. Lepaki!
Ben, here. Okay, you're on your own.
Okay. Well, you know, once again, I want to thank everybody from Bridgetown Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You guys, go check them out. Guys, go check out our great sponsor, BrawlBase.com. Man, Reed Parker and the boys, they're smashing it. They're repping some of the best fighters out there. You guys, go check them out, man, BrawlBase.com. What we're going to do is Miss Caitlin, she's going to try to rejoin us, but it looks like she's having some severe technical difficulties. For everybody out there, you can follow her on Twitter, and I have to spell this out because I'm not that good with remembering, but it's, what is it, C-A-A-I-I-T-T-L-L-I-N-N. Really weird way to spell Caitlin, but she did it that way. You guys can find her on Madhouse. We're always retweeting her. You guys can find her on Facebook. You guys got to check her out, man. She writes some amazing articles. Go to madhouse.com and look at...
Hey, Skippy.
Yep. Oh! The man himself, Lapaki, welcome to Cage Fire Radio.
Hey, buddy, how you guys doing tonight?
All good.
Let's bring
the
real
guest
tonight.
We got Leonard with us as well, right?
Yeah, Leonard is with us. Let's bring Leonard in. I mean, he's the true guest tonight. I just happen to be the only one that works with you goofballs that knows what he's talking about.
Leonard, welcome to Cage Fire, brother. How you been?
Very good. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Well,
hold on, Skippy. Let me just do this, buddy. Just relax.
For it. Run for it.
Hey, for all the listeners out there, this is Leonard. He's the coach at Fisticuffs Gym up in Vancouver. He's also currently the wrestling coach for Tough Australia, the Smashes, on the Australian team with the head coach is George Sotiropoulos. Leonard, is there anything else that you want the people to know about you, sir?
No. Yeah, we're up here in Vancouver, Washington, just 10 minutes out of Portland. I'm actually the striking boxing coach for the team.
Oh, why did I think Cara was the striking coach?
Yeah, no. Our wrestling, I can run the coaches down real quick. You know, of course, George is the head coach, and he has Nick. I'm the boxing striking coach, as well as Nick Cara, who used to be a Muay Thai world champ. And then you have Nate Coy, who is wrestling, and Charlie Blanchard, who does wrestling and jiu-jitsu also with George. That was the team.
Yeah, and you guys have a pretty awesome bond. The one thing I've noticed so far about the first six episodes of Tough Smashes is the unity between both the Australian team as well as the British, the UK team that's under Ross Pearson's guidance. Now,
yeah,
you guys
know,
have had a few... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you're training, you know, twice a day, living with these guys. You go through a lot of emotions, a lot of just time with these guys. We're there for 7 weeks, so there's definitely a bonding that takes place when you're with someone that long, day to day, you know, twice a day, 4 to 6 hours a day.
Now, on the first episode, Leonard, we had Benny Alloway fought Valentino Petrescu and ended up knocking him out in the second round. I guess it was a TKO to be accurate, but he ended up taking that fight in the second round. What kind of things were you guys able to learn about Benny and in picking that fight for him?
You know, that was a tough fight. If you look at both teams, for the most part, on paper, the team UK had more experience, and they seemed to be physically bigger than our guys. But we tried to match, at least George tried to do a lot of research on and try to pick the best matches for him. And that, although a lot of people thought it was a bad pick, was actually a good pick, and it came out like we planned. We knew Ben would use his reach and could use his reach, and if he did, he'd be able to kind of dictate the fight, and which is what happened. So it ended up working out. You know, it doesn't always work out, but it worked out fine that time. And Ben looked really good. He looked tough. He went against a really tough seasoned veteran and did well, where most people weren't going to give him the credit, you know, before he actually had to go in there and show him what they could do.
Now, is he the most veteran guy on the Australian team, Leonard, Benny?
I think Ben had the most international experience. He was training in the States for a while, and he's been around. But there's a lot of seasoned guys in there that have a lot of experience, just not international experience. They have some good records. They all, of course, have winning records. But, yeah, for the most part, international-wise, being outside of Australia, I think for at least Team Australia, Ben was the guy.
And then in the second episode, you guys had a really hot prospect because you guys won that first fight. That gave you. You also won the control of the first fight on the flip, which I think let you guys pick the fight because that's what George did, and he let Ross pick the weight class. But in the second fight, you guys used what I thought early on was your best lightweight prospect in Ben Wall against Colin the Freak Show Fletcher. And the light and Fletcher ended up winning that fight, going the full distance. And
right.
I think the thing I learned the most about Ben Wall in that fight is that kid might have one of the strongest chins that's not in the UFC.
Right. Yeah. Are you talking about those knees that he was taking?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of them, and they were coming from everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I'm really impressed with these guys, the Team Australia. Like I said, I have very limited contact with Team UK just because they're not our team and we spend so much time with ours. But, yeah, Ben and the team in the whole, these guys are tough guys. They came to fight. If you're going to beat them, you're going to know you were in a fight. And, yeah, he took some knees. They stood there and he kept going. And, yeah, to this point, I mean, all of the losses have been by decision for Australia, where we've had KOs and stoppages, you know. So yeah, they're a tough group of kids. He is definitely a tough guy, though.
What did you think about Fletcher's style in that fight and his length, especially as being a lightweight? I mean, that was the thing that surprised me the most about him was that his ability to kind of like always be fishing for chokes. And then to wrap up, to be able to wrap up Wall and deliver knees from almost anywhere was very impressive, I thought.
Yeah, Freak Show kind of impressed me. I know he looks wild and crazy, but the little I did get to know him, I really like the guy. He's talented, and I think he uses his assets well. I mean, his assets is that long, rangy body that he has, and he uses his reach well, he uses his legs. I mean, if you remember when he was kneeing Ben in the head, Ben was practically standing straight when he was getting kneed in the head. And I forget how many it was, but there were multiple knees. So he uses his assets well, and he's an athletic guy. So I think he knows what he has, and he uses it to his best ability. I was impressed.
Yeah, I was very surprised at that. And I was also just so darn impressed with Ben Wall, and I look forward to seeing him compete again. But that gave the control to Pearson, and he ended up picking a fight that really shocked the crap out of me, Leonard. And I didn't understand why he would do that, except maybe he thought the only welterweight he had that could take out Whitaker was Luke Newman.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Luke is a tough guy, too. You know, I got to admit, every time we had a fight, I was more nervous than the guys probably, just because we've done a lot of research more. We know more about their opponents than they do for obvious reasons. You know, we kind of know who they are. We do the research before and why we're at the show. But the fighters, they don't know other than, you know, what they might have picked up before if they've come cross paths on other fights. But, again, Luke is a tough guy. Team UK has tough guys. We knew it was going to be a tough fight. But Rob is also a tough guy. I mean, we know what their assets are. I mean, what we tried to do when we went on the show was not change these guys. We just wanted to build on what they had. You know, they all came to the show with great records, winning records. What brought them this far is what works. So we weren't trying to change things. We were just trying to maybe make them a little faster, a little stronger, polish them up a little, if that makes sense. And by looking at them two different styles, we felt that, you know, Rob could do it.
Oh, yeah, I thought that the best, like, when I was watching the first few episodes and the training that you guys were putting him through, I was really impressed with Whitaker. And when Pearson picked him as Newman's opponent, I didn't really quite understand it because they had already lost a welterweight match in the opening round with Valentino, who I think they thought would knock out Benny Blanco. And we saw how that went. Blanco ended up knocking him out.
Yeah, you know, they're all tough, though. They're so hard to match. They're all so close and so tough that you just have to pick the best strategy to beat the guy. I mean, they're so close. You know, I don't know what to say. They really are. But our guys just pulled up. I mean, They did what it had to do to win the fight. They stuck to the strategy, and it paid off for them.
Most definitely. And Robert got you guys back control of the fight selection. And then in your next fight, I was kind of surprised by this selection too, Leonard, because when you guys picked Richie, knowing that he's a natural bantamweight, and then you picked him to fight, I think the largest lightweight that maybe the most physically largest, because, I mean, obviously I think Freakshow is a little bit taller than Storm and Norman Park, but I think as far as, like, mass and muscle-wise, I think Park is probably their biggest lightweight and strongest guy.
Yeah, you know, again, I don't know if everyone's aware of it, but we had two lightweights that were really 35ers. But given the opportunity that, you know, to be an Ultimate Fighter and trying out, they did well. And I'm not making excuses, I'm just stating the fact. These guys fight at 35. They've never fought at 55. And if you saw Richie, he was underweight at the weigh-in. And that's eating everything he can possibly eat. And like I said, I'm not making excuses. This is just a simple fact. These are 35ers. So no matter who they win against.
Hello?
Yep.
Did we lose Leonard?
Well, Lepaki, if we did, for everybody listening, we're definitely going to have him on next week, and Lepaki is going to be able to pick up the conversation and catch everybody.
I want to continue on kind of with what he was talking about with Richie Vaz especially, because I think that a lot of listeners will think that's an excuse, but when you have the opportunity to watch the Norman Park and Richie Vaz Vasilik fight, you will see exactly what Leonard's saying by no excuses. Richie Vaz threw it down with the guy that easily had 15 pounds on him after the weigh-in. Now, granted, Park came back down to 155 to make weight for the show, but at the fight time, we all know that that's not where you're weighing in at. Now, Richie Vaz was right there. I think he weighed in at like 154 and some change that night, maybe 153 and some change. I can't. That part is slipping me a little bit right now. But there's definitely no excuses being made by Leonard there at all. And Richie Vaz, people need to be paying attention to this guy at 135.
Yeah, and I want to thank Leonard from Fisticuffs Gym in Vancouver, Washington, taking the time to come on each Tuesday with us to talk about tough matches. Lepaki, me and Caitlin would also like to thank you for taking your night and coming on here with us. I'd like to, for everybody out there in the Pacific Northwest, Leonard's Gym, Fisticuffs, they are putting on November 3rd, Fisticuffs FA MMA 5. They got three titles up that night, a 205, a 155, and a 170. And you guys should get out there and support that. You guys can find them on Facebook. You guys can hit us up. Everybody out there, I apologize that we lost Leonard. Lepaki is going to get the chance to pick up the conversation next week on the same channel, the same bat time. I would like to give a big shout-out to BrawlBase.com and also Madhouse Productions for putting on this show. Lepaki, I'll see you on our show Friday. You can catch me and Lepaki on Rogue MMA Hour. We're going to be doing a live press conference with Warrior Cup, the Muay Thai League. You guys don't want to miss that. Miss Caitlin, if you're available to talk, you want to wrap up the show?
I want to give a shout-out to Sam Sealander.
What did you just say?
I'm giving a shout-out to Sam Sealander, whether you like it or not.
I have no shout-outs, actually. Thank you very much. But I'm sure he'll appreciate that. What shout-out do you need?
You can give me a shout-out. Come on. One time.
One time, maybe another time. Tonight's not your time.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I'll give you a shout-out on Twitter, Lepaki.
You better give me a shout-out on Broken Nose Radio, Jabroni.
Hey, shit, you know, I was thinking about doing one after reading the interview today. I was really thinking I should do a part three to last night's show. So
I think we should let Caitlin wrap up her show so that we don't overrun it. I'm sorry,
wrap
Caitlin.
Up your wonderful show. Thank you for having me on as your co-host once again.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. You know, I love having you guys on my show, especially to mumble when I'm talking. So I have to ask you what you're saying, and you can talk about Sam, and we can give shout-outs, you know, all that fun stuff.
Oh, it's been a
Cagefire Radio, an MMA Madhouse production, brought to you by BrawlBase.com.
Well, I guess that's the end.
I guess that's it. Thank you, guys.
Boss, folks.
Yeah, we're in overtime. I just talked to Leonard, actually, and explained to him what happened, and, you know, he's excited to come back next week and continue where you guys left off.
Yeah, I knew he had to be in work in 15 minutes. I want to give a big shout-out to the guys he works with and his bosses, man, that are listening tonight, because they're letting him come to work 15 minutes late at his day job, which is protecting the city from drug douchebag losers. And big shout-out to him and his crew. So, and I'm really honored.
I bet with a voice like that, he scares the crap out of people.
Oh, I know, dude. Could you imagine him going,
right?
Hands up on the car. I'd be like, yes, sir. Do you want my wallet? Can I write your rent check?
I know, right?
Oh, Carl, Miss Caitlin, I got a few things to get done for our normal day job at madhouse.com. I'm super excited to continue this. Who's our guest next weekend, lady? I know you got somebody cool.
Yeah, I was going to have Jesse Rojo on next week. He fights out of the Octagon MMA out by me. And if he wins his fight at FAMA this Saturday, he'll be, I believe, 4-1 or 4-2. And I don't know, the kid's crazy. He fights at so many different weights. Like, he fights at 125, but he goes up to, I think his biggest fight, he fought up to, like, 136 or something like that. I don't know, the kid. And he's just got, he's got a really interesting way of thinking. He says, he claims that if he gets video footage on you, that you're done, and he's going to win. Because that's the way that his mind works and how he can think about what you're going to do. So I think it'd be really interesting to get his point of view on the show.
And he's fighting Charlie Davis from Team Chaos, I believe, at 125.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I hope we get him on next week. That'd be super cool. Okay, later, lady. We got to wrap this up. I'm going to go and take care of my business. I had a wonderful time, Miss Caitlin. Thank you once again. Brawl Base, you guys rock. I love you, Reed, Parker, and the boys.
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.